Hello, and welcome to AARC Perspectives, where we talk with members of the respiratory care community and learn about their experiences caring for patients and building the profession. I am Doug Lair, Chief Operating Officer at the American Association for Respiratory Care, and I will serve as your host for today's episode. Since 1947, the AARC has been leading the effort to advance the respiratory care profession and promote high-quality, cost-effective, patient-centric respiratory care. The respiratory care profession is ever-growing and evolving thanks to dedicated respiratory therapists around the world. Joining me today on the AARC Perspectives podcast is Mr. Zach Gant. Zach is the founder and CEO of Encore Healthcare, providing outcome-based respiratory programs and software in the post-acute care setting. Zach founded Encore with a vision of radically improving post-acute respiratory care delivery through clinical excellence and innovation. He has served in various clinical and executive leadership roles in the industry, including the National Clinical Educator for Lindy Healthcare, the Vice President of Health Management, and the Chief Clinical Officer for Alana Healthcare. Zach has also served as the President of the Tennessee Society for Respiratory Care, the Tennessee Respiratory Education Foundation, and as co-chair of the AARC Post-Acute Care Section. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy my conversation with Zach. Hey, Zach, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Doug?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Welcome to AARC's Perspective Podcast. We really appreciate the expertise that you bring to the table. Today, we're talking about a very important topic, and it is really about documenting and measuring the value of respiratory therapists. For so long, whether it be in the acute care setting or the post-acute care setting, which is where your expertise is, respiratory therapists have primarily been measured based on how much they do, not on the quality and the value that they bring to the organization. And so the AARC, along with people like yourself, are really trying to bring the value-based concept of respiratory care to the forefront. And so we're excited to chat with you a little bit today. So let's kick this off, and let's just, I'll give you a softball question here. If I were to ask you to define value-based respiratory care delivery, what would it be?
Well, that's a good question. Thanks for having me on the show today. Value-based care is defined as the value that it brings to the patient, right? And so everything in a value-based model is centered around patient care. And so that in itself is a big opportunity for respiratory therapists. But it's also defined by how much you can improve outcomes while reducing costs. And that's really the equation is, how do we bring value to the patient, improve outcomes, reduce costs at the same time? So it's these models, we're really getting some momentum before COVID. And then, of course, COVID slowed everything down. And so I was worried that these types of models were going to slow down, but they've really picked up in the last year or so. And there's been so much focus by payer organizations. And so when I say payer organizations, you know, a lot of people think about, well, I'm not talking to insurance companies, right? But in today's world in healthcare, everybody is a payer. Hospital systems are now payers. Physician offices are now payers. And so the model has changed so much that there's these models out there like accountable care organizations where the hospital now becomes the payer in a sense, where they're on the hook for how much savings or how much the cost there is, or a physician office is now on the hook for how much they can save. And so in these value-based models, it means that not only is it the payers worried about how much money gets saved, but a physician, a hospital system, all these different entities now have in a sense become the payer because they're on the hook for the quality and the amount of savings that they can create, and they get to share in that. So, but the other thing about that is, you know, healthcare many times has tried to reduce costs by doing these savings types models. But what's different about value-based models is that it's all centered around the patient. It's all centered around outcomes. And so if you don't create better outcomes, it doesn't matter how much you save. So you've got to do both. You've got to create the outcomes and create value. So a value-based respiratory care model is simply that. How do we bring value to the patient? how do we generate or create outcomes that improve their quality of life, reduce the amount of times they go to the hospital, do all the things that are going to give them their life back by better managing their disease process. But at the same time, in doing that, in turn, we reduce healthcare utilization. And so therefore, we create the reduction in costs. And so it creates a model where it's all based around value.
I love how you started off your reply about everything being about the patient. And that is the focus that we all have to have, because if it's not for the patient, we wouldn't have a job. But then you segued your response into the payer, into the organization in which you're employed. And what excites me the most is that for us to really get a foothold, whether it be the acute or the post-acute care space, we've got to prove our value with our employers, with the organizations which provide care. And when you do the things that matter, you're controlling costs, and that's what's so important. So I really appreciated your response there.
Thank you.
I've heard you say before that now is probably the single most important time in the history of our profession for respiratory therapists to step up in delivering value-based care. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, you said it in the intro, Doug, which is that we've always gotten paid for what we do and not about the outcomes or the value we can bring. And so historically, we've been in this fee-for-service world, which is that in a respiratory department in the hospital, in post-acute care, in a nursing home, in the home, it's all about getting paid for a procedure or a product. And so in that model, we have to do more to generate revenue for our department. And so the reason I feel like this is our biggest opportunity, and by the way, I think it's up to us as respiratory therapists to really capitalize on that opportunity, because now the model is so different and there's so many opportunities out there. We've got to figure out, we've got to think outside the box and get outside of this world that we've been living in, which is a fee-for-service world that we get paid for what we do, and start thinking about how do we bring value and get paid for outcomes and be able to take care of a patient, but at the same time, do it by generating more outcomes. So I think this is the single most important time that we've ever seen in our profession, because now all of a sudden there's a way to get paid for respiratory therapy services in every environment without it mattering how many procedures we do in a physician office, in a home care model, in a nursing home, in the hospital. I mean, there's so many different ways that that payments are flowing into those entities that now there's a model where we can do COP navigator programs in the hospital. We can do those same types of models in a nursing home or in the home. And by bringing value to the person paying the bill and bringing value to the patient at the same time, we can create a way to get paid for those services. And so now, for the first time ever, there is an opportunity for respiratory therapists in every part of healthcare, home health, DME, nursing homes, physician offices, even primary care. There's all these opportunities out there because the model's changed so much and because we can bring so much value from our expertise.
So, Zach, you're a really bright guy, but the CEOs of insurance carriers, of hospitals, of long-term care facilities, they're pretty bright too. In your opinion, why haven't we adopted this model sooner?
Well, I think the opportunity is just gotten here in the last couple of years, right? And so we've seen these models start to come to fruition, and we've seen insurance companies try to do things like hire companies that can manage all chronic conditions. And what happens when you do that is that respiratory is very specific. That's why we have the specialty of respiratory therapy. And so respiratory patients are very complex. And so what's happened is that a lot of companies, a lot of CEOs of insurance companies have said, hey, we're going to do a disease management program and hire, a group of nurses to manage all disease processes. And they've done well with some disease processes, but the one weak spot they've always had is respiratory. And so what I hear time and time again is that COPD management, respiratory management, is the one place that they've struggled. And we see it in their numbers. I mean, we run data analytics on an insurance company, and almost every time COPD or respiratory are their number one or number two spend. And so if you think about that issue, that's the opportunity in itself. They're not able to manage respiratory populations. And so now the other part of that equation, though, Doug, is that I think that it's on us to go out and show them that, hey, you've got to have respiratory therapists as part of the care team, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to create the outcomes and the value that you're trying to create for your patients. And, you know, I tell people all the time, if we don't have a seat at the table in these meetings, then it's really our own fault, right? I mean, if you're a respiratory director in a hospital and you're not in every readmission discussion and value-based discussion, then fight your way to the seat at the table. Same thing if you're in post-acute care. You got to get in those discussions. And although they may be, you know, long and drawn out and boring sometimes, the value that we can bring to that table is as much or more than most every other department there. And so you got to start thinking outside the box and start thinking about, hey, I've got to get at the table, first of all. And number two, there's an opportunity for me to be able to show value and create these models outside of traditional models that have to be based on what we can get paid for.
I love that analogy about getting a seat at the table, and I'll respond to that with another analogy of my own, that what does the saying go? If you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Exactly.
And respiratory therapists, we do not want them to be on the menu. You had made a comment earlier in your reply about outcomes, and whether it's publishing results from a study in respiratory care or whether it's documenting your value at the bedside. It all comes down to outcomes. What type of outcomes do you measure in the post-acute care space?
Well, so when I started doing this back in 2010, I didn't know what I was going to do with the data, but I knew that data was going to be important one day. And so we started collecting everything we could and trying to figure out how to collect data. And over the years, we figured out that, hey, we could take that data and we could show or spin it to an insurance company or a hospital or a skilled nursing facility and show them the value that we bring. And so when we start looking at data, it's the basic stuff like reductions in readmissions or in utilization. And some of the things that we've seen is that across the board, over and over, every time we've done a respiratory-led program, we reduce readmissions by at least 60% or more. And that's on the post-acute care side with an insurance company in the home care space. It doesn't really matter where we do it. It doesn't matter what type of therapy the patient's on. What we find is that when you put respiratory therapists into the equation, you can reduce readmissions by 60% or more. But the other things that we start to look at is, you know, what are the relationships between anxiety and depression or readmissions? What are the relationships between, you know, how somebody feels in their symptom assessments and readmissions? And so we've started to really dive into the fact that it doesn't matter as much, you know, what the pulse oximeter says or what the, you know, what their vital signs are when you start to get into post-acute care. What really matters is how does somebody feel and how do they respond to the way they feel and their ability to understand what to do when they feel a certain way. And that's all comes back to the education. So when we start to talk about outcomes in the home, you know, we have currently 20 million data points on home respiratory patients.
20 million?
20 million.
With an M.
With an M, yeah. And
wow.
Over 50,000 patients that we've managed over the last 7 years. And so we've got probably more data than anybody in the home. And what we've found is that we can use those relationships to create a better clinical story and a better clinical outcome. But also we can use that data to spin it back to an insurance company. If an insurance company, you know, gives me their claims data, basically I can tell them how much, by putting respiratory therapists in the home, how much we can put back in their pocket in reductions in utilization. And so, you know, it's really about using the data for the clinical story, but then being able to create the business story too. Our medical director always says you got to have a mission and a margin because healthcare is a business, right? And so the thing that we do really well as respiratory therapists is we have this mission-minded philosophy where we're all about taking care of patients and improving quality for patients. And where we see programs fail a lot is you forget about the margin part, right? Because we all love the mission part because that's what we do and that's why we got in the business. But you got to have the margin too, which is how do we make sure that our hospital system or our employer or our partners are making money at the same time so that there's a way to pay for our services. And I think that's really what what has been missing for years is how do we create that revenue or business model that goes with the clinical model that says, here's why you should pay for respiratory therapists. And if you don't, you're not going to have the same kind of outcomes.
Yeah, as they say, no money, no mission. So you've got to figure out to bring those two together. Zach, a minute or so ago in your response, and I just want to make sure that I heard you correctly. You said in your experiences, introducing the respiratory therapist in the home can reduce hospital readmissions by 60%. Did I hear you correct?
You did. And we published some of that data in CHEST back in October in an abstract. And we actually did it. It was with various different home care companies that were using the same clinical model and software. And so basically, you know, in that we were looking at multiple different companies that operated different ways, but they infused respiratory therapists into their model with a strategic plan, so a systematic approach to how they cared for patients and how they managed their disease process. And we see that 60% is really on the low side. That's what we published back in October. But we've got organizations that we're working with that have gotten all the way up to 80 or 90% reduction in readmissions. But not only readmissions, also in 12-month admissions, we're seeing reductions of more than 60%. And so, again, it's about having a respiratory therapist, but it's also about having a systematic approach to how you care for a patient. We know from the GOLD guidelines, we know from the asthma guidelines, there's a way to care for a patient who has those disease processes. And if you systematically solve problems for them, then we're going to improve outcomes. And if you follow that model, and that's really, you know, a lot of people think that we've got some kind of silver bullet. And it's funny because my father used to call it the Wizard of Oz effect. He said one day somebody's going to pull back the curtain and realize all we're doing is providing really good respiratory care. And so it's this idea that we didn't do anything that was real special, except for we took the GOLD guidelines, the asthma guidelines, and we said, how do we create an approach where we solve all these problems systematically? And it doesn't matter how good the respiratory therapist is or how good the patient responds, we're going to get similar results across the board. And then how do we create an education model that we can create, again, a systematic approach to how we educate a patient and get them to the point where they can self-manage their disease? And so what we've kind of perfected over the last 10 or 12 years is really taking the evidence-based medicine that's out there, creating a systematic approach to it, but then also creating the revenue model to go with it that says, here's how you get paid to do respiratory care.
And you just answered the question. My follow-up question is, what is it that the respiratory therapist does with these patients that help reduce readmissions by 60%? And I think you just answered that it's really systematic and customized to the patient. In the acute care world, respiratory therapists have long struggled with trying to get credit or productivity for services that they render that can't be billed for, so to speak. In your world, do you have that same issue? And how do you create a value-based delivery system with non-billable tasks, procedures, delivery models? How do you do that when there isn't a billing code for it?
Well, so, you know, we're like a lot of people in healthcare today, we're kind of stuck. We're on both sides of this thing. So we've got one foot on the fee-for-service side and one foot on the value-based side. Right. And so what we see is that you got to create a model for both, but that helps you transition into this value based model. What I mean by that is I'll give you an example, like in the home care world, home care companies only get paid for the devices that they provide. And that reimbursement's been cut over the years more and more and more. And so respiratory therapists have been kind of taken out of the equation with nebulizers, with oxygen. So the model that we created said, hey, if we infuse respiratory therapists back into those models using things like telehealth or using technology to kind of supplement the amount of time it would take, number one, and number two, infuse respiratory therapists back into the model where it's not about the relationship between the patient and the device that we're providing, which so often in home care, it's all about that device. And so the RT's job is to educate the patient on the device and that's it. But nobody else is taking care of that patient in the home. They don't have home health. They're only seeing their physician once or twice a year for 10 or 15 minutes. So if we as ERTs don't do it, then nobody else will. So what we did was we created a model that said, okay, from a business perspective on the fee for service side, if you're a home care company and you want to win more business because the hospitals care about readmissions, they care about value, they care about outcomes. So if you want to win more of their business, you've got to create this outcome-based model that's centered around a holistic respiratory care approach that's managing the whole patient. And if you do that, then you'll win more business and you can do partnerships with hospitals or with payers to get the majority or do preferred partnerships. So we've created a fee-for-service style model that gives the home care company the incentive that, hey, I can grow my market share, I can grow my business, I can create exclusive or preferred partnerships with a hospital or with physicians that are based on outcomes and value. So we've done it on that side. But then as you're doing that, you're also building your ability to manage in a value-based world. And so then when you start to do those models on the DME side or the home care side, then now you're prepared. Your RTs know how to manage patients. You know how to create the outcomes. And so what we've done is we've taken the outcomes from the patients that are on devices, and then we walk into a Blue Cross Blue Shield or an ACO and we say, hey, I saved you $5 million last year on these patients and you didn't even know it. You know, what do you think? I did this on 50 patients. You know, what do you think I could do if you gave me all 5,000 of your COPD patients to manage and you actually paid me for it? And so when you create a model around fee for service that allows you to bridge the gap and get into a value-based care model, then you can kind of crosswalk that over to a model that says, okay, now pay me for the outcomes that we can bring to your patients and the value that we can bring to your patients. So that's just one example. We've done this, you know, similar types of models in different environments, but the idea really is how do you make that transition from fee for service into a value-based world while we're still living in kind of both worlds, depending on who your customer is.
I'll revert back to one of the very first questions I asked you. Why do you not think that this has taken off? I know so many home care companies, for example, or DME companies, you're right, they focus so much on the equipment. They don't want to pay to put a respiratory therapist on staff. They don't want to pay to have the respiratory therapist, you know, incur the expenses of going into the home. They're so much focused on their expenses as opposed to the opportunities that come with getting the RT into the home and achieving these outstanding outcomes. Is it because they just don't have the comfort with or the knowledge to engage the carriers in these discussions?
Well, I think we're at a tipping point, Doug. And so 5 years ago, I would tell you there was probably 1 or 2% of the companies out there that would go after a model like this or were trying to do a model like this. Now I'd say we're closer to 10% of the home care companies. And even one of the big nationals, one of the biggest, is doing this now in partnership with us. And so I think what we're seeing is that the law of diffusion of innovation says that, you know, the early adopters are going to jump on board, the ones who can start to see what's going to happen in the future. And so we're seeing the innovative companies that are jumping on board to say, okay, it's got to be about the outcomes. Everything in the future is going to be centered around the outcomes. And the way I create outcomes is by a respiratory therapist being in the home. So we've seen, you know, the early adopters starting to latch onto this. And I believe we're at the tipping point. And the tipping point says that we're going to see over the next couple of years, more and more companies, you know, a mass amount of companies start to jump on board with this outcome-based model. And, you know, it's been when you went to conferences on the home care side 3 years ago, everybody was talking about how do I get equipment cheaper or how do I get, you know, better value out of my purchasing. Now every single conference you go to on the home care side is about value-based care. They've got topics about these types of models. How do we make the transition? So all of a sudden we've got this groundswell that's starting to happen and this momentum that's happening that people are getting on board. And now is the opportunity for us to strike. And what I mean by that is that as respiratory therapists, every one of these companies who has a good model, I'll tell you how it started. It was a respiratory therapist who created a vision and convinced the owner, the CEO, or the leadership that this is how we get into the future. This is how we grow the business. This is the model. And so it's really about us. It's about respiratory therapists stepping up to the plate saying, hey, if my company is not going to do it unless I can create that momentum behind it and I can create that model or that vision. And so we see it time and time again that the most innovative companies are the ones that have respiratory leadership in the home. A lot of companies don't still, but we're seeing more and more of them bring on directors of respiratory or even chief clinical officers, which is where I started on the home care side. I worked my way up from a director of respiratory to a chief clinical officer and really drove the vision of the company and the strategy into this value-based model. So it's really about respiratory therapists thinking outside the box, getting a seat at the table, even if they're in the home, and being able to create this idea that RTs are the future. We can't pull back on having RTs in the home. We got to push forward because the future model says that if you don't have respiratory therapists and we don't have value in the home, Amazon is going to be able to deliver equipment faster and cheaper than a DME company.
With drones, by the way.
Exactly. And so we got to do something because home care is either going to be respiratory therapists in the home are either going to be obsolete or we're going to be the future. And it's up to us to really create that.
So Zach, you're a business owner and you're a respiratory therapist. So you have the vision and you can make those corporate decisions yourself because it's your company. But you had talked about the role of the respiratory therapist in a company perhaps that they don't own and having those conversations with the CEO or the owner of the company. And I guess my question to you is, how would you respond as a respiratory therapist if the CEO of a company that you went to with these innovative ideas said, hey, Zach, I love your energy, your enthusiasm. This all makes perfect sense, but we've got to collect data before we're going to start to get paid. How can these companies get paid for a value-based model before they can actually start achieving some of these outcomes?
Well, I think the roadmap is already out there, right? So whenever I started, there was not really a roadmap. And so it was, we were trying to figure it out. I tell people all the time, you know, don't go try to create your own model until you talk to me because I'm not brilliant, but I can tell you all the things not to do, right? Because we scraped our knees a bunch of times and made mistakes and we lost money on these respiratory models time and time again, trying to figure out how to put them together. And so I think what we see is that as respiratory therapists, again, we're always thinking about the mission. We got to start thinking about the margin of how do we drive revenue. But the roadmap's already out there. There's companies that have done it, independent companies, there's large companies, now there's published data out there. And so what I would say is if you want to create a model like this, first you got to have some kind of technology, you know, right? Tracking outcomes on spreadsheets is, you could do it for a pilot, but it's long-term, it's not sustainable. Back before we had a software program, we had probably 10 or 12 people in an office that were just data scientists and RTs and then customer service reps that were just collecting data and putting it into spreadsheets and trying to figure out how to tell these stories. That kind of model is not sustainable, but now you've got technology out there that really supports, hey, I can do this. I can have, you know, enter into this process without having to have a big spend or without having to go figure it out myself. And so now I would say just follow the roadmap, right? Don't go recreate the wheel, but see what's out there and see how you can talk to the people that are already doing it and see what the model could be that you could find a way to get into a value-based model, outcome-based model. And it doesn't have to be that you get paid for it on the value-based side. There's ways to get paid on the fee-for-service side that allow you to create the margin and the mission around this type of model.
Zach, you said you have millions of data points with, I believe, 50,000 patients. How much money do you think that your company is responsible for in the form of cost avoidance and cost savings? Have you tracked that information?
Yeah, we have. And so last time I looked, we'd avoided over 25,000 hospitalizations on our patient population. And in that, it's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. We just did an analysis for one state Medicaid. And so that state Medicaid, well, the analysis we did, we showed them that we could save between $200 and $300 million for one state by putting respiratory therapist in the home. So you think about, you know, what kind of value that is. And that's on a small, that was on 12,000 patients. So 12,000 patients, we could save $200 to $300 million by putting respiratory therapist in the home. You know, it's this idea that why wouldn't you start to pay for respiratory therapy services? You're not going to get that kind of savings on anything else out there. But the value that we could bring just to a state Medicaid, we can bring that same value to any insurance company out there by putting respiratory therapists in the home in a model like this.
So, Zach, we're running up against the half hour here, and I want to be respectful of your time, but I have one more question for you, and that is, this is all, comparatively speaking, as to how respiratory therapists have been utilized in the post-acute care setting. This is kind of a novel concept. What does the future look like for value-based care with respiratory therapists in the home?
That's highly dependent on us, Doug, on us as a profession. I think that, you know, we could wait for CMS to come out with some kind of billing code and we can lobby for that. And I absolutely think that we should. But I think in this current state that healthcare is in today, there's opportunities for us to make waves and to create these types of models ourselves. Again, it's not that complicated. It's just providing good respiratory care and then showing the value it can bring. I think the future looks really good because I do believe we're at a tipping point where we're starting to see more and more companies think outside the box, more and more RTs think outside the box. And that's what we're known for. We're the MacGyvers of healthcare. And so if you can think that, take that MacGyver concept that we do in the ICU and bring it to how do I create business models and clinical models in the home or in the nursing home, even in the hospital, that are going to reduce costs and improve outcomes and bring more value to patients. When you start thinking that way, and then also you got to follow the money, figure out how your organization gets paid, because I guarantee if you work in a hospital, you probably don't know it, but your hospital is part of an ACO or a bundle payment model. They've got some kind of unique payment model that we could insert yourself into to be able to create that kind of value. So no matter where you are in healthcare today, there's a value prop to put respiratory therapists in new positions that are focused on outcomes. But it's all about us figuring that out, creating the roadmap, and then being able to execute on what we do well, which is taking care of patients.
So, Zach, this has been a fantastic half hour that we've spent together. We'll part ways today with a two-part question. I'm assuming by now the people who've stuck with us for the last 30 minutes are really intrigued and engaged by what you have to say. So part one of this question is that if I'm a business owner, much like you, and you were to offer me, you know, one piece of advice, and you could probably do an entire course on this, but you were to give me one piece of advice on how I go about reaching out to these insurance carriers and altering their payment models, what would it be? What would your advice be?
Well, the advice I would give you is, as a clinician and a business owner, you got to get to the clinicians in the insurance company. If you go talk to the C-suite, what we found is that we can get some interest, but it doesn't go that far. If I can find a physician, a medical director, the head of population health, a nurse, whoever it is who's clinical, and they see the passion and they see the excitement about what we can do and how we can do it, then we can drive it over the finish line. And so what I would say is, number one, if you're a business owner and you're not clinical, which is fine, then find a clinical person who can lead the charge. Find a respiratory therapist to put in a position where they can help you lead the charge for something like this. When you go to an insurance company, find the clinicians, and that's who you got to talk to get this thing going.
I love that response. Get to somebody who understands the clinical side of the conversation. Okay, so my part two of this question is that if I'm a respiratory therapist, probably in a leadership role in a home health organization, but I'm not the owner, I'm not the CEO, what would your advice be to that person to engage in this conversation, to kick this conversation off?
Well, the first advice would be that clinical outcomes are here to stay, right? And so if we don't start to play in the clinical outcome space, we're going to be replaced by Amazon. We're going to get beat by whoever's got the lowest price, number one. Number two, if you're in a clinical position and you're trying to show the value of a model like this, again, look at what's already out there. Look at the companies that are out there. There's plenty of examples of home care companies all across the country who are the elite home care companies. And if you look at the way they got there, it's because they had clinical excellence, they had respiratory excellence in their leadership. And I won't name companies, but in almost every state, there's one of those companies, either it's a regional or it's a small player, who dominate the business. And they dominate the business because they have clinical excellence, and they have clinical excellence because they have respiratory leadership who has really pushed the envelope to say, We got to create programs. We got to create value. We got to show that we're reducing readmissions, reducing costs, and at the same time, driving better outcomes for our patients.
Well, Zach, this has been a fantastic discussion today. I'd love to talk more about it. You have a sincere passion for it, and the way that you articulate this content is really engaging. I suspect by now that there'll be people in our audience who'd love to reach out to you to follow up and get a little bit more information. You are the content expert in this area. For people who want to reach you, what's the best way to do that?
They can reach me by email. And so my email address is zgantt, G-A-N-T-T, at encorehc.com. And then I'm sure we can put my contact on the podcast as well. Is that right, Doug?
Yep, absolutely. We sure will. Well, Zach, thank you so much. Great conversation. I really appreciate it. To all of our listeners today, thank you so much for tuning in with us for AARC Perspectives Podcast. And just remember, when you can't breathe, nothing else matters. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to AARC Perspectives. Be sure to check out our show notes page for information about today's episode, as well as links to our other podcast episodes. Be sure to know when our next episode airs by subscribing to our podcast. Until next time, my friends, keep on supporting the respiratory therapy profession.